If you're keeping notes, I'll give you three passages to place in your notes. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and chapter 6. And you might want to turn to Matthew 22. In your handout, if you've received one, when we started this quest, the series of verses that we used as a foundation is in Ephesians chapter 4. Specifically, Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then verse 24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we mentioned before, it has been mentioned before, that the truth that the Lord is speaking about in this area is the truth that can only become from walking in the new man. It's not the normal lying and the normal telling the truth before the new man, before you were recreated. It includes that, but goes far beyond that. And that is that we, as neighbors, as friends, as family, as an army, need to continually tell each other the truth. And the truth is Him and everything that He's ever said, ever will say, or is currently saying. You know, He's not a man that He can lie. He is just truth. And so we began to go through what we're currently calling His present day speaking, elaborating somewhat on the truth and everything that He's spoken. Most of you that are present here this morning, not necessarily by those that are only hearing me wherever they're listening, but those of you that are here, you've had this handout ever since I've had the handout, and you probably know it as well or better than I do. So we begin to go through the present day speaking, line upon line, precept upon precept, really here a little, there a little. And now we come to this morning, and of all mornings, to begin to talk about His love. It's today, not by accident. Hopefully we'll all get through it. Hopefully we will not be all on our knees, though that would be a good place to be, because the amount of love that He showed towards us and is showing towards us. I need to remind you two things, maybe more. Number one, that all of His present day speaking in the handout that you have come from different people. Only one or two of them came from someone that had a mic in their hand. None of them came from me. I'm not the author of a single one of them, nor whoever gave them is not the author of what they gave. But they were a vessel, just like you, who the Holy Spirit was able to open up their heart, speak through their mouth, and bring forth the mind of Christ. The second is something that Dave, our pastor, said that I believe you all need, especially those of you that are doing the message, need to write in your notes. It's becoming louder and louder and louder. in our lives. And that is, you must go to war with the Father's heart. Or you must take the Father's heart into war. The Lord did not use the word game. He used the word war. It is not the war that our carnal mind or our soul sees on television and has read in all of our history books. It is a war in the realm of the Spirit. And to win that war, we must have the heart of the Father. It would have been nice that we would have known that long, long, long time ago. But it seems as though as the Lord teaches us line upon line, he came to the line in each one of our lives that he's now able to tell us that you must have my heart to win this war. It's not a war we're going to lose. He never lost a single war, never will lose a war. It's a war that we're going to win, but to even be enrolled in or enlisted in or drafted into this war, we must have the Father's heart. Everything that we've tried to do up till now has been good, has been his will. We've all been pressing towards the mark. But he's saying now, there is a greater change of heart than what we've had up till now, or he wouldn't give us that new instruction probably at the beginning of the year, I believe Dave said it. So we must go into the Father's heart, or go into war with the Father's heart. In your handout, I believe that you are on page 6. And it's January the 18th is when it was received of 2010. And it's titled, The Rivers of Love, Stay As Long As You Can. Beginning, The Rivers of Love, Stay As Long As You Can. Love. The rivers of love you sang about are here. They are present. My love is the most powerful force in all the universe. Only as my children partake increasingly of my love for them can they be transformed to that very love, that they may live in and move in and be this very love. Jump in, partake freely, drink deep, be immersed in this love, be surrounded by it, and be filled with it. Have you ever went to a river or to a lake and there was a big cliff and everybody says, jump in? Put your imagination, forget what I'm saying, and put your imagination on as to when you've ever been asked to jump in. You don't know how deep it is. You don't know if your feet are going to touch the bottom. You don't know if you're going to have to swim. Just jump in. Jump in. Jump in. Seen movies, people jumping off of big cliffs. Jump in. You notice he didn't say walk in. He didn't say just step and put one foot in. He's saying to us, jump in. Jump in. He's not telling you how deep it is. He's telling you to leave every single thing that you call comfortable, that you are used to, that you're familiar with. And he's saying, my love is such that I want you to jump in. Just jump. He didn't say jump into work. He said jump in. Play. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Go swimming. Just jump in to my presence. Any rejection in that? Any condemnation? You think there's enough room for all of us to jump in at the same time? I won't take anything from your spot, and you won't take anything from my spot. Let's just go and jump in. Jump in. Every one of us. He didn't say those of you who are just new to this message, you have to stand on the shore. You don't qualify because you're not old enough, or you're not big enough, or you're not an experienced swimmer, so you can't jump in. What he says to one, he says to all, and he's saying, jump in. Jump into my love. Jump in. When you enter my presence, you can also enter into my love, into these rivers. Let them wash over you. That means go under the water. That means clear down under the water. Just jump in. You ever jump in and you never went under the water? If you ever jump into something and you don't go under the water, you probably have broken both your legs. Jump in. Let them wash over you, purifying your heart, till the only motive left in your heart is love. Love must be the only motive in all things. Write it down. Everything that you do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, you do unto the Lord. Everything that you do, every motive is love. That is pressing towards the mark, is it not? Certainly everything that I've done this last week was not done in love. Father, forgive me. I forgive everybody. Please forgive me. And according to my record in heaven, I've never failed you. But I am pressing towards the mark. Every single thing that Jesus did, he did in love. Not only the cross, not only the resurrection, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is our pattern, which is our school book, which is the textbook. There's not a single thing he ever did outside of love. Love is not wishy-washy. If you would have been standing by when he took a whip and made it and drove out everyone out of the temple, you would have looked at that and said, how can that be love? That was the first act that he did publicly and the last act he did. His whole ministry, he was walking in that attribute of love. When he called the religious leaders whitewashed sepulchers, etc., etc., that was love. That was love. Did I not say the law was summed up in this one saying, love your neighbors as yourself? Did I not say the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? And the second was likened to it, to love your neighbors. If you turn to Matthew 22, We'll just read from verse 37 through 40, repeating the same thing. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These are the keys to my kingdom. They are keys the devil fights hard to keep my children from finding and obtaining. But I say these keys are yours. I am placing them in your hands. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the doors that are unlocked with these keys. But I will reveal them by my Spirit. I will lead you to each door and instruct you when to open it. You will be amazed, but this is the power of my love. This is the power of who I am, and it is being released unto you as never before. Every opportunity you have to enter in, to enter my rivers of love, jump in and stay as long as you can and be transformed by this. This is the result of fellowshipping with me. This is transformation. Be exceedingly glad, for I have long waited for these keys to be held in the hands of my children. I have long waited for these keys. Hold out your hands. He says those keys are in your hands. He didn't say they were laying on the ground somewhere. He's saying they're part of, you got them right in your hands. Right now, you have them in your hands. These keys are in your hands. And he's long waited. Every opportunity you have to enter into my rivers of love, jump in and stay as long as you can, be transformed by it. This is the result of fellowshipping with me. This is transformation. Be exceedingly glad, for I have long waited for these keys to be held in the hands of my children and to be utilized for my kingdom purpose. Let me transform you to my love. Then you will never fail in war, in life, in peace. Let me transform you to that love, and you will never fail. Love never fails. Can't fail. For love to fail, God would have to fail. Absurd, right? For us to walk in that love, we can't fail. Never. Never. January the 19th, I am a lover who eagerly waits. It's interesting to me that on January the 18th, in one part of the world, the word that we just read came forth. And clear, on another part of the world, on the 19th, this one came. If I checked the times, and I should have, it would be really interesting. But I'll let Gary do that for me. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit said relatively the same thing through two of his vessels, and he allowed us to receive them both so that he could confirm every word by two or three witnesses like that. Isn't that amazing? Does that give you a foretaste of what's going to happen, what's coming? He created the internet for us, incidentally. You know, really simple. He's created every form of media for his body, not just us. We're going to own part of it, but we'll share it if we're good stewards. We'll share it. No one else can love you free like I can. I would circle the word free in my notes, highlight it, put it in the highest point. Every bit of love that he gives you, it's free. He has no strings attached. He has no other motive but to love you. He's not doing it to get something. He's not giving it because you gave him something. He is it, and it's free. You should be shouting. It cost him everything, but it cost you nothing. Free. Free. My love to you is the truth of who I am. And in the presence of who I am, miracles happen and souls are rescued from despair as the hope that is in me reaches into the darkness and despair that has engulfed them. In the presence of who I am, in the presence of my love, the truths of my fatherhood are revealed. As you are on a mission to discover the depths that are in me, in my love, I too am on a mission to unfold the beauty and the depths of who I am. Clyde, I'm coming as fast to you as you're coming fast to me, and there's going to be a collision, and the result of that is you're going to understand my love. You're going to run right into it. You're going to get smacked as you're on a mission to come into me. I'm not standing somewhere far off, just waiting till you get here. When my grandchildren come into my house, we both move. I look over at Gary and think about his grandchildren. You can't keep them off the platform. And besides that, Gary loses his entire train of thought. Even when they walk through the door. Of course, I don't have one that age, so I can throw stones. You know, Gary's teaching and Lily walks in and it's like this. And I want you to know that... Until she sits. We have him on video. Love. Beyond anything that you can feel. Love. When those two boys come up, wanted to hug you this morning, suffer the little children not to come unto me. Rich never cries when I walk in. No. He doesn't hug me like he hugs them. He doesn't pick me up, though he could. But nothing else matters except loving that child and that child loving him. A collision. And that's exactly what the Lord's doing to every one of us, every moment of every day, just not today. As we move into Him, He's running into us. remember this. You can write this one down. This is a good one. They're all good. Your desires for his love, will never, ever, ever match his longings for your love. Your desires for his love will never, ever match his longings for your love. Because he put that desire in your heart to love him. I am Father. I am the maker of man. And my longings are ever present to reveal myself in the creation or to the creation of my hands. The love that comes from me, that is being explored in times with me, is a river that has no end. What a statement. There are places in my love to be explored that will unravel truth and will open doors for many to experience what they need, which is me. I am wooing a people into my presence who will take me at my word that I am truth, I am love, and love is truth. Underline the next statement. We're wanting revival. The world will pour into places where the sons of my love stand, for their place in me, in the knowledge of my love, will allow me to pour myself out in a way that I am greatly looking forward to. I am eager to pour myself out in such a way that miraculous restorations will take place. How many of us, all of us, know people, including ourselves, that we would like a miraculous restoration to take place? It will come through the river of love that has no ending. We won't have to advertise. What do they say? I met these people and I could tell that they've been with Jesus. We know of stories of the past, sort of like Smith. Wherever he went, people would either fall in love with the Lord or leave his presence because his mere presence convicted them of sin. The world will flood in, run in to a place where the sons and daughters are walking in this love. I'm eager to permeate atmospheres with the revelation and presence of my love. I am eager to answer the cries of those who have cried out, there has to be more to life than this. How many times have you said that? How many times? Never or many times? There has to be more life than this. There has to be more. And the more is him. Oh, that's what it says next, huh? Oh, yes, I am the more in life that many are longing for, looking for, and finding no way into. The depths in me and the avenues into my love are often not found because the reasonings of men have instructed not into the depths of who I am. Oh, there is a depth. Oh, there is an abiding. Oh, there is a wisdom and understanding that is being sought after and reached into. I am so happy. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how can you bring pleasure to the Lord. If you've ever asked him, how do I bring you pleasure? This is one of the ways. I am so happy. I am so pleased that you want more of me because I want more of you. I have lots of friends. I enjoy all my friends. But I don't know any of them that has ever come and said, I want more of you. But he is the best friend. And he's saying, you may want more of me, but I'm telling you, I want more of you. Tim, I really want more of you. Lord, how could you want more of me? I know me. I want more of you. I really want more. I'd like to spend more time with you. I really want more of you, just like you are. You don't have to do anything except give me more of you, because I want more of you. In these places, I am leading you into. Notice we're not standing still. You will be satisfied to much greater degrees. You will be poured into. You will be poured into in greater and greater measures with who I am. And my love will come to abide in you in ways that are new. And abiding is coming to my people, and many have been reaching into. This abiding place is a deep place in me and a place of great stillness in you. You could put out, if you're keeping notes, a place called done. A place called done. Great stillness. Your heart has been sensing the abiding and the stillness that I am referring to. For my grace has been working in you. I'm going to read a portion of one of my favorite definitions of grace. It happens to be back at the bookstore on the table if you'd like to get a copy of it. It's not something new. We've talked about it before. We've shared it. You may already have it in your blueprint that you carry, your notebook. But here's two paragraphs from it. Grace is you letting me do what I want to do in this earth through you. It requires you being absolutely still, unmovable in your decision to wait upon me to bring about the desired results. Stillness. Now listen to this. The desires, the hopes, the dreams and ideas that are in the inside of you are not yours. The desires, the hopes, the dreams, the ideas that are inside of you, they're not yours. They originate in me. That is, within my spirit, within you. It is not your job to bring them to pass. It is your job to be a vessel for my grace. Every desire, think about them. I'd love to go and say, what's your desire? What's your desire? Everyone would have different desires. What's your dreams? Think about them. What's your dreams? When you close your eyes, what's your dreams? What's your ideas? Every single one of them come from Him because He's in you. And it requires stillness. It requires, yes, doing the message. What did He say? You know, my greatest desire, my greatest heart cry is if my children would sit and listen and hearken. The sitting, becoming still. The listening, becoming still and shutting off your mind as far as your soul is concerned. Allowing your spirit to ride on the horse. We've been taught all this. It is life in the spirit, becoming still, not busy, quietness, peace. Live in that stillness within your spirit. Your heart has been sensing the abiding and the stillness that I am referring to, for my grace has been working in you. The hungers you often sense for me are from the longings I have for more intimacy with you. His longings is to have a one-on-one relationship with you like you were the only one He died for. And today, the only one that He has arisen for. And it has been said that if there was only one, He would have went through all of that just for you. Just for you. The expectations that draw you are from the well of my love for you. The need for me that seems to push everything else aside as unimportant is from the riches of my grace that draws you. How many would I guess I need to show hands. How many of you are finding, have already found, that some of those things that were so important are no longer important? I thought it was my age. But your whole value system, He is changing line upon line. And precept upon precept, and here a little, there a little, to become exactly like Him. And so everything that is no longer important, that was once was important, has nothing to do with your present and your future. Has everything to do with Him. Has everything to do with Him. Unimportant. I am the beginning and end of all that pertains to you. In essence, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And there's nothing outside of that. I'm it. And it is well pleasing to me. It is well pleasing to me when you respond to the grace that draws you. My grace is as my wealth and riches to you. For it is the strength that sustains you and the strength that moves you forward into all that has been given to you in me. Just as your heart is rejoicing at my presence and my grace, so is my heart rejoicing at your presence and you holding on to my hand of grace. More of me awaits you, and I am a lover who eagerly waits for every moment with you. I eagerly await my times with you. I'm just not waiting for you. I am eagerly, with a great deal of emotions, waiting for you. When was the last time you were eagerly awaiting for someone? That is a small comparison to how much eagerly he's awaiting for you. January the 24th. Change, new strength, new understanding. You could put out to the highlight of this, like in the margin of your Bible, you could put in the margin of this, explosion. Suddenly. Change. When Gary first told me that he heard the word suddenly, we were both sitting down, and I just looked at him and I said, I don't want to hear that. Not that he wasn't telling me the truth, and not that he wasn't telling me that it was coming, and I believed what he was saying, but I've heard the word suddenly over and over and over and over and over and over again and again and again. And I had lost hope that suddenly was ever going to take place. But you're looking at a man right now that is full of suddenly. And that's by his grace, not by me. Totally by his grace. You're looking at someone that sees an explosion. I don't like fireworks around me. I had several friends that had bad experiences with fireworks and explosions. But this explosion will not hurt anybody. This explosion is going to change everybody. An explosion. I mean an explosion. Explosion of love. An explosion of peace. An explosion of joy. Explosion of fellowship, explosion of wisdom, explosion of understanding. Change, change, change. And he puts parameters on this change as we read this word. Change is in the atmosphere. Great is the portion of this change. This change will be noted by those who are heeding the call of my Spirit and giving themselves to me. They are in tune with my Spirit's moving. Listen to what he says next. Only love could speak the next line. Those who are not defining what they are sensing are not lessened. If you're unable to define what you're feeling and you are around people that are talking about change and they're able to define it and they're able to say, boy, look at this. I mean, I live with them. If you can't define it, he's saying you're not lessened. In other words, you're not behind. No matter what the enemy would try to tell you, you're not one step behind. Because he's saying you are not lessened. That means we're equal. That means that you may be in a time of hiddenness, and I may be in a time of manifestation. I'm so excited with what I see coming, I could not stop talking, and you would not have an Easter dinner with everything that's coming. Some of them that are around me just, you know, they just, I've had enough, you know. I've only begun because I'm in a time of manifestation. I'm in a time of expressing. I don't have anything else on my mind except what's coming. You know, when the Spanish book was put up on the internet, number one language in the world, and we have the truth going into that language, how are we going to nurture them? How are they going to get everything that you've already gotten in English into Spanish so that they have a right to walk exactly where you have a right? Whether you walk there or not is not the problem. The problem is how will they hear, or how will they believe if they've never heard? Whose responsibility is that? And how will they hear if a preacher is not sent? And how can a preacher be sent if we don't have gospel entrepreneurs that lays down their life somewhere to the point that they can bring in the funds necessary to accomplish what needs to be accomplished? That's all I want to talk about. But that's manifestation. But you may be in a time of hiddenness, being developed. And because you may not feel like I feel or be able to say some of the things that I'm saying, blah, 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 or the Holy Spirit is saying through me, which is more important, you are not lessened. Got that? You are not lessened. Their walk is in the process of moving into being more in tune with my Spirit's moving. It is a time of change. It is of great importance. Every single word is important. I mean, you can circle the word great. He didn't say it's important. He said it's great. Of great importance to heed the promptings and wooings of my Spirit as he draws you away with me. I, and only I, can move you forward in me by my Spirit. Nothing else can move you forward. Nothing else can bring you to where you want to be except his Spirit. Nothing else. It has been said that it is of utmost importance to walk after my Spirit in fellowship with me. For by no other means will you enter into the change I'm bringing except by my Spirit. These things have been said, and today I emphasize this and ask that you take heed. Some will hear this asking as if I am imploring, for this season is of such intensity. Great word. All of the understanding of the change has not yet unfolded. Now I say, I am bringing the runners into a new level of grace to hear me and obey me, which is a must for all that will enter in. Call yourself a runner. I am a runner. Amen. That's in the Spirit. That's in the Spirit. I am a runner. I am a runner. Nobody's going to beat me to the finish line in the Spirit. I am a runner. You must put first and foremost your life in me and your love for me. For you are empty without the life that is in me, and it is a new strength I'm bringing to you concerning this. I am the strength that is being poured into you during this season, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, by my strength, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. I am your strength. I am the wisdom and the understanding being poured into you during this time. And this is only through fellowship with me by my Spirit. It is my Spirit who waits. It is my Spirit who waits to escort each one who loves me into my presence. For he is forever with you. As you are in me, he is in you in all that you do. You are entering into rooms of a new awareness of my Spirit and his fellowship with you. There are understandings about him I have waited to reveal to you. He is a forever friend with you, and he is your companion in my presence. The time period has been waiting for you. The time period that has been waiting for you is upon you to enter into greater fellowship with me, for my abiding presence is key. Come, and make the time to hear me. Come and make the time to walk into the grace that awaits you. This grace brings you into fulfilling more and more of the longings in your heart to know me and to see what your heart has cried out to see. Come, take time with me, and let this fellowship be something that never falls away in your walk with me. I am strengthening this foundation of fellowship into an abiding in me. See you in 30 minutes.